Okay, I've got some good news. How many can stand some good news today? All right, the message is you can live in freedom. This week, Saturday, July 4th, 2009, we're about to celebrate America's 233rd birthday, Independence Day. Kind of give you a brief historical overview of it. You know, the original 13 colonies were under the oppressive regime of the nation of Great Britain. And Great Britain was oppressing them. They were taxing them without fair representation, to make a long story short. So on July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was approved. And thank God we have freedom in this nation. Amen?
Amen.
I want to make a spiritual application here, friends. At one time, without Christ in our lives, we were under the oppressive kingdom of darkness. Paul in Colossians 1, 13 and 14 writes this. Colossians 1, verses 13 through 14. Talking about God the Father. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Through the work of Christ on the cross, friends, and by faith in Jesus Christ, we were delivered from the kingdom, from the oppressive kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son he loves, into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of eternal life. And that is good news. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, where does the Spirit of God live today? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:16. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God ended up living where? Yeah. Taking residence in us. For you are God's temple, and His Spirit lives in that temple, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. And then he writes in 2 Corinthians 3:17 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that you can live in freedom. You may be a follower of Christ right now, but the enemy's dark kingdom may be trying to pop its ugly head in your life. Friend, God is wanting you to walk in His freedom in every single part of your existence. Independence, freedom from the kingdom of darkness. Now, why did Jesus come to this earth? Why did Jesus come to this earth? What does the Word of God say? Okay, that's good. I'll say it's in 1 John 3:8. 1 John 3:8. Why Jesus appeared on this earth. It says this, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Now, if you read the chapter of 1 John 3 in context, what is the devil's work? What is it?
Rob, kill, and destroy.
Okay, he says to rob, to kill, and destroy. That's good. But the devil's work in context is sin's grip. Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and by faith in him, he came to deliver you from the grip of sin. Now, what does sin's grip include? It includes addictions to drugs, to alcohol, to cigarettes, maybe to looking at things with your eyes that you should not be looking at. Friend, I'm here to tell you today that you can live in freedom from those addictions. You can live in freedom from the addiction to drugs and to alcohol and to cigarettes and to the things that are not good for this temple, God's temple, your body. You know, God requires faith, right? The Bible tells us it's faith that pleases God. But in addition to faith that God can deliver you, you've got to take what? You've got to take steps in the natural to overcome in those areas. And I know that in Tulsa, there's courses offered to recover from addictions. You know, it's what you operating in the natural, doing what you can do in the natural, that at that point, God's super is added to your natural so that the supernatural goes into effect in your life. So that the miracle working power of God can go into your life so that you can walk in freedom from addictions in different areas. Amen? Is that good news? Friend, I'm here to tell you today, you can walk in freedom. You don't have to be in bondage to those things that are trying to pull you down. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to deliver you, to rescue you from the grip of sin over your life. Illness and sickness. Physical illness is a form of bondage. Why did physical illness and sickness enter this world? How did it enter this world? That's it, because of man's sin. Did you know that healing and wholeness is freedom from sickness and disease? Jesus took the stripes on his back 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill so that we can be healed in our bodies. Isaiah 53:5. You might be wondering today, well, is Jesus willing to heal my sick body? Has anybody ever wondered that? Is he willing? Some people might wonder it. In Matthew 8, remember, a leper came to Jesus. How many remember that story? Matthew 8, verses 1 through 4. Verse 2. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately he was cured of his leprosy. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Jesus who was willing 2,000 years ago to heal sick bodies is the Jesus who is willing to heal you today. He's still willing to heal your body. You might be wondering, well, is he able to heal my sick body? Of course he's able. Of course he's got the power. Remember the woman who bled for 12 years. How many know that story? She bled for 12 years in Mark chapter 5. She spent everything that she had on doctors. And instead of growing better, she grew worse. But she heard that Jesus, the miracle healer, was in town. And she was thinking to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. So she's shoving through the crowd and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And immediately, it says in Mark 5:29, her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. And it says in verse 30 of Mark 5 that Jesus realized that power had gone out of him. Now, people were bumping into him, but when this woman touched him, he felt his ability, his power going out of him. Why did power go out of Jesus to heal this woman? Think about it in Mark 5, verse 30. She believed. She touched him with a touch of faith. That same Jesus can heal you today. That same Jesus has that same healing power for your bodies today. That same ability to heal a physical illness. He's willing and he is able. Now, friends, there's certain things that we have to do in the natural in addition to faith in God. You know, we should know in our knowers deep down on the inside that God can heal us. We must believe that God can heal us. He can heal us. He is able. He is willing. But in addition to faith, there's certain things in the natural that you and I are to do. For instance, anybody have any ideas of some of the things you can do in the natural to receive your healing? You can exercise. That's good. Anybody else? Can exercise? Say what? Eat the right kind of foods, a good diet. You can try to get off them cigarettes. You can do things. You can take steps in the natural. When you take steps in the natural, guess what? It's at that point that God's super meets your natural and the supernatural goes into effect in your life. And the miracle working power of God becomes real to you so that you can walk in freedom from sickness and disease. You don't have to be in bondage to physical illness, friend, but there are certain things you need to do in the natural. Do something with the faith that you claim to have in God. That something might be, like she said, a good diet, exercise, getting off them cigarettes, walking, jogging. Make sense? You know, back in 1999, I was in India for several months, and I landed, I believe it was in May of 99, and I was under a lot of stress and I had this fever that came over me and my temperature was so high, man. I felt like my body was on fire. And I just believed and I knew that God could heal me. I went to bed that night and I said, God, I know by the stripes of Jesus that you can heal my body, my sick body. And we did certain things in the natural. They took, you know, like damp rags and they put them on my head and on my body and they gave me medications and I knew in faith that God could heal me. We did certain things in the natural and guess what, friends? I mean, I could have been sick for months. You know, it could have been malaria for all I was concerned. But, you know, I went to bed that night, said, God, I know you're able to heal me. Jesus, by your stripes, I am healed. Friend, I kid you not, the next morning I woke up, that fever broke. And I was on my merry way that week preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in different villages of South India. Friend, if God could do it for me, He can do it for you. You don't have to walk in bondage to sickness and disease. Now, another point. Financial lack and poverty is a form of bondage. Would you agree? But financial provision and abundance is freedom from lack and poverty. Amen? Amen? What is one of God's names in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Jehovah Jireh, which means what? The Lord will provide. What does Paul the Apostle write in Philippians 4:19? This man's a walking Bible. That's good. He says, but my God will provide for all of your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The miracle-working God is here, friends. He wants to turn your financial situation around. He wants to take you from the pit to the palace in your finances. God can do it for you. Do you believe that? Amen. That God can turn your finances around. Do you have faith in God to do that for your life? But there's certain things that we have to do in the natural, right? Do you agree? What are some of the things that you can do in the natural to see that God's miracle working power goes into effect in your life? What are some of the things you can do?
Get a job.
That's good. Get a job, he says. Anybody else?
Stay on the right path.
But even before that, you can do what?
Stay on the right path.
Stay on the right path. That's it. You can fill out job applications consistently, right? You can line up those interviews. When you land that job, you can be faithful to your employer, right? Doing what he says to do, being there on time, leaving on time. Amen? You see, it's doing things in the natural that's important with faith in God. It's when you do those things in the natural that God super meets your natural and the supernatural power of God goes into effect in your life so that you can walk in freedom from financial lack. Amen? We can start to turn to Matthew 17 if you want. Jesus at one time was in financial need. Matthew 17. The collector of the temple tax came to Peter in Matthew 17, verse 24. And he says, doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax? Yes, he does, he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. What do you think, Simon, he asked. From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others? Verse 26. From others, Peter answered, then the sons are exempt, Jesus said to him, but that we may not offend them, go to the lake, throw out your line, take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachma coin. Take it and give it to them for my tax and yours. Jesus, the miracle-working God, was there in the presence of Peter. Would you agree? Peter had faith that Jesus could provide for this financial need, right? But Peter had to do something in the natural. What was that? What did Peter do? He had to go fishing. That's right. He went fishing, man. He threw out the line or the net, whatever it was. And pulled that fish in. And in the mouth of the fish was the miracle, was the money to pay the temple tax bill. Jesus Christ never changes. That same Jesus can provide for you financially. You can walk in freedom from financial poverty in your life. Amen? You know, a couple years ago back in 07, back in September of 07, we got together with a church here in Tulsa and did some work for this older woman who lives here in downtown on Peoria. And she has this really old house. She was probably in her mid-80s at the time. And she was needing some painting done around her house. So a group of us from the church got together and we scraped her porch floor and we primed it and then we painted it and didn't charge her a penny. You know, we spent a good part of the day going out there and just donating our services. And friend, I kid you not, that following week, the following 2 weeks, because I have a business, I work on people's homes here in Tulsa as a way to produce income. In the following 2 weeks, God gave back to us about 57 times what that job was worth for the old woman. God is a good God, right? Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. And friends, one of the things you can do in the natural is to do what? to see your financial situation turn around. And it's also spiritual. You can plant some seeds, right? Seeds of your time. You can plant financially. You may not have a lot of money to your name. You may have just a few dollars. But if God tells you to sow part of that or sow all of it, do it. And I'm here to tell you that God will be true to His word. He will give you a harvest on your seed. Friend, inner turmoil is a form of bondage. But guess what? God's inner peace is freedom from turmoil. Do you agree today? Jesus Christ is considered what? The Prince of Peace. Look at John 14:27. John 14:27. Talking about the peace of God. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Jesus says, "My peace is so much greater than the peace of the world." The world's definition of peace is what? The world's definition of peace is happiness. If everything's going just right, then the world says, "I have peace." But Jesus says, "You can have my inner peace in the midst of the storms you're going through in your life. You can have the peace of God deep down on the inside." Back in 2000, March, I was in India, again, South India, doing evangelistic work out there. And there was probably 250 people out in this meeting. And I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and this lady at the front, some of you may have heard this before, she just started writhing like a snake, going up and down and disturbing everybody, just trying to rob peace out of the meeting. And I just stood up in the name of Jesus and I commanded that devil to come out. And I kid you not, friend, within seconds, she was still. She sat down. I picked up and continued preaching the gospel. You may have some turmoil in your life today, but you can walk in freedom from turmoil, friend, because Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, wants to give you His peace that surpasses any human understanding. And there's certain things in the natural that we could do to receive peace. What are some of those things? Anybody have any ideas? Some of the things you can do in the natural to receive God's peace. You know, you may be the kind of person that thinks it's either my way or the highway. And when you talk with somebody, it's you always got to get them on your side. And, you know, maybe you like to argue. So maybe one of the things that we could do to keep the peace is to do what? Argue less, right? Not always be of the mentality, it's my way or the highway. Try to listen to the other person's side. That making sense? Putting self aside, putting self to death and receiving the peace of God. So when you do these things in the natural, at that point, God super meets your natural and the what goes into effect. The supernatural power of God goes into operation in your life so that you can walk in freedom from turmoil. Friend, you can walk in freedom in every single area of your life. You know, guilt and condemnation is a form of bondage. But God's love and acceptance is freedom from guilt and condemnation. Who's the one that brings up your sinful past? Satan. He's a liar and the father of lies. But you know, when God looks at you, He doesn't see your sinful past. When He looks at you, He sees you as forgiven, as justified, as just as if I had never sinned. He sees you clothed in a robe of righteousness. What could you do in the natural to walk in God's love and acceptance? There's some things you can do in the natural. Obedience. To walk in freedom from condemnation. Obedience, okay? Anybody else? Anybody else? Doing what now? Trust. Okay, anybody else?
Stay on the straight and narrow.
All right, stay on the straight and narrow. And you can read this Bible. You can use your natural eyes to read the Word of God so that it's stored within your heart. So that when the enemy tries to bring guilt and condemnation to you, what do? You quote the Word of God that's stored up on the inside that you use your natural eyes to read, right? So you tell them in Romans 8:1, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." You tell them, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. Friends, there are things we have to do in the natural to walk in God's freedom. In addition, most important, to faith in God. And when you do those things in the natural, God's super meets your natural so that the supernatural power of God goes into effect in your life so that you can walk in God's liberty in every area. So to live in godly freedom, just to close it off today, to live in God's freedom, starting today, what are some of the things that we're to do? To live in God's freedom, what do we do? First and foremost is what? Okay. Anybody else? To start living today in God's freedom. To start living independently from bondage.
To repent today.
That's good. First step is to surrender your life to whom?
Jesus.
To God, to Jesus Christ. I've said it before, it bears repeating, God is not obligated to bless anyone who's living in rebellion to Him. If you say, hey God, this is my life, this is my body, I do with it what I want, please don't tell me what to do. You know, if you're of that type of attitude, you'll continue to walk in bondage. Friend, the first step is up to you. The choice is yours. You've got to say, God, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Take full control of my life. And once you do that, you start the process of walking in God's freedom. And then, something else to live in godly freedom is to do what? And we talked about it. Is to do what? Love your brothers and sisters, that's good. And also to have, most important, faith in God. Everything is possible for him who believes. It says the victory that overcomes the world, even our what? What is it? Faith. Amen?